them, do you want to please God? So you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So, Father, we come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts before a holy and righteous God. Lord, we thank you for this precious privilege that you've given us to just to hear your word. We thank you, Father God, for allowing it to be written in the Holy Writ that we may read it. And we pray, Father God, as always, help us to have an understanding. And we pray that understanding leads to the right living to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the subject this morning is pleasing God. Pleasing God. And we're going to have 3 points. First of all, we must believe. First and foremost, we have to believe if we want to please God. Secondly, we have to endure. We have to endure to please God. And when we please God, we should expect to receive. So believe, endure, and receive. You know, Pastor just started a sermon series talking about the attributes of God. Now, and it's somewhat hard to describe, but God is all of this. And yet he's a personal God. Because we can't isolate saying God is love. We know the book of 1 John talks about the love of God. But we can't isolate just because he is love that he does not also have a wrath. That he's justice. That he's compassionate. That he's enduring. And we have to look at God as he is as much as humanly possible. Even illumined by the Spirit of God, our understanding of God is so very limited. And our understanding is so limited, we could get to a point where we try to limit God. But just because our understanding is limited does never, ever, should ever cause us to limit God. Because God is limitless. His power endures forever. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He knows the ending from the beginning. God is. He's always been in existence. And how can we wrap our minds around that? That there was never a point in time where God did not exist. Matter of fact, God existed outside of time. Time is for us. And we have time. And within our time, we should seek to please God. So the Bible opens up chapter 11. Now faith is the substance. So we have to understand what faith is. It is really believing. We have to believe. We have to trust. James say, if you just have your faith in our works, it's dead. You can say all day you believe, but your action is, if your action is not based on your belief, is it really a belief? We exercise faith every single moment of our lives. Every time you take a breath, you have faith that your lungs are going to work properly. You don't think about breathing, do you? Just think about how many of us would be dead if we have to think about breathing. You'd have people falling out all the time. We have faith that our heart is going to beat the way it should beat, because if it starts beating, slowing down, or speeding up, for a long period of time, we're going to have to go to the doctor and get it checked out because we become concerned. How often have you gone in the bathroom and put soap on your hands before you turn the water on? You have faith that the water is going to activate, right? You get in the shower. You don't think about, well, I hope my water comes on this morning. You do everything you were supposed to do because you expect the shower to operate properly. So we exercise faith all the time. Every time we take a step, we exercise faith in our physical ability. When somebody asks us a question, we exercise faith in our mental ability. But what about your spiritual ability? How often do we truly exercise the faith that is required to please God? So faith is the substance, and that substance really means something under you that's firm, that you're standing on. And as we stand up, get out of bed, we exercise faith in our legs, right? And not only that, but the floor we're going to stand on. But it's what we're standing on. And our faith in that very thing that we're standing on is so great that we act that we demonstrate that we truly believe in what we're standing on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance is, once again, you standing on something beneath, and you're hoping for something based on what you're standing on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Pastor was praying this morning. He said he prayed that we have our lifestyle is a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God. And every day we live, that day is going to testify based on what faith we exercise on that specific day. And if God called roll last week, Monday, what would Monday say about your faith? What would Monday say about how you live? Did you live in a way with intent in mind to please God? What about Tuesday? What would Tuesday say about your faith? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What would they say about your faith if it was in the courtroom and they were witnesses, came up? So I'm going to testify about the faith of brother, sister, so-and-so. What would they say about your faith? You know, it's easy to illustrate the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but the aroma. You ever walked in a place and you smelled your favorite meal cooking? You didn't see it yet. It was just the aroma. You just got all excited because of the aroma. It would be a terrible day if whoever cooked it took it someplace else and you could just have the smell. Like, where is it? You looking up and down and all over the place because I know it's here. Or at least I know it's been here. But that's the aroma. That's what we want to present to God of our lifestyle. Not just lip service, but our lifestyle. Because it's easy to talk a good game, right? I have to go here just to illustrate a point. I'm sure in the locker room, Tennessee was talking a good game. Then they said, we're going to beat them bad. But your effort has to align with what you believe. If you're not willing to put forth the effort, be quiet. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have to put forth effort. Then by faith, we believe that everything that is seen was created from things that were not seen. We go all the way to the book of Genesis. No one was there when God stepped out in the middle of nowhere, spoke everything into existence by the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus Christ is the word. Nothing was created except through him. We believe that. We believe that Adam and Eve were the first people created. There was no other people. Adam and Eve were the first people. We believe that Adam and Eve sinned against God. We believe that Jesus Christ was promised to come. Genesis 3:15. He was promised to come. And if you look all through time in history, the book Genesis chapter 6, they were trying to destroy the seed because God promised through the seed of a woman that Jesus Christ would come. And God protected that seed by putting Noah and his family in an ark. And then you can track it all the way through. And God is able to use whatever he chooses to use. He used an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. Because through them, Moab was born. Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth was the mother of David's granddaddy. So God is able to use whatever. But by faith, we believe that. We believe that God took Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He told him to leave his family's home, not telling him where he's going to go. And Abraham left by faith. And we can look at Abraham as an example of how we ought to live. But we have to believe that. We didn't conjure up this belief. But it's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God, Ephesians chapter 2. That we can't boast on something that we didn't have any control over anyway. But God gifted us this faith. Now he's given us an opportunity to evidence what we truly believe. And we have to exercise the faith through our works. But we have to believe that we were sinners. We have to believe that we were on our way to destruction. We have to believe that we were lost. We have to believe that Jesus Christ came down through 40 and two generations to seek and to save that which was lost. You have to believe that you were lost And if you don't believe you were lost, you think you were okay. Therefore, you say, I don't need you. I'll do well on my own. And you may be sitting here right now with that attitude. Right now when you think that you're saved. Jesus Christ said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons and did these things, all these things? And Jesus Christ said, it's worthless because you did it on your own power and strength, not by faith in me. Who can save you or rescue you from the hands of an angry God? God is angry every day at the wicked. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, you're in that category, whether you recognize it or not. I don't want you to sit under my voice and think you're okay when you are not. You need to be confronted and realize and recognize if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll never get another opportunity. Never. But you will spend an eternity experiencing only God's wrath. And I know Pastor's going to get there. But when he gets there about the wrath of God, we need to understand what it is. It's going to last as long as God lasts. Uh-oh. You will only experience the wrath of God. There is nothing on this planet that can help us to realize what that is like. Nothing. Because when we're in time, everything is temporary. People get life sentences. If it's life, it's life. But they can get out. But when we die without Jesus Christ, there is no getting out. Nothing. God himself will not rescue you. But we believe that. And that should help us to be motivated to tell people about Christ. People are dying every day. Every day. People are dying every day without Christ. Because the Bible says many are on the broad way. Many. But we're on a narrow way and few find it. Few. But every day Jesus Christ is plucking those off the broad way, putting them on a narrow way. Because I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Every day he picked you up out of darkness, transfer you in the kingdom of his light. Every day he's picking you up by faith, by faith. That's the only way we recognize that we were on the broad way, when God opened our eyes, when he made us alive, quickened our dead soul, spiritually dead soul, made us alive, picked us up off the broad way, put us on the narrow way. Now we have to grow in the knowledge and grace of him. And I think that's where we fall short. We get people in the church through the mercy and grace of God. They become saved. They're being saved out of the world. Now, through teaching, the world is taken out of them. Through discipleship. But if they don't know how to live, they're born again. And if we don't help them by the word of God to live correctly, their thoughts are going to be twisted. Although in the church, but their understanding is going to be twisted. So they could think they're doing it the right way and be absolutely wrong. But it's our fault, because we're not taking that little bitty baby in Christ by the hand and help them to walk. We're saying, you say, just exercise faith. I know we were at the community kitchen yesterday, and I do this periodically. I just walked in. People had no idea who it was. There was another church there. And I talked to them. I said, hey, why are y'all here? Y'all from a church? Why are you in church? I said, what is this faith stuff? Well, believing in something that you can't see. I'm like, what? I said, that is foolish. You tell me I have to believe in something I can't see. I said, that's foolish. And the guy was trying to explain it, but it's hard to explain. You're telling people to trust God and I've never seen God. What is the evidence that God exists? Creation itself is screaming out that there is a creator. But you have to have your conscience biblically informed in order to articulate the word of God to a point where people can somewhat understand and whet their appetite. Say, hey, let me find out more about this God you're telling me about. Because I am going through a rough time right now. You telling me God is able to take me out. If he saved me, I don't have to go through this rough time. We're not saying that. But the Bible says that you will suffer tribulations. It's guaranteed. Philippians 1:29 said, not only have you been granted to believe, but also to suffer for him. But we have to, by faith, believe that God is. You can't prove that God is. You can't prove that God is truly is based on something tangible. Because you have evolutionists over here saying, no, it was the Big Bang Theory. So here's my question to the evolutionists. If we evolved, why are there still all these things? Because when something evolved, the thing it evolved from ceased to exist. So you have all these things and different DNA and all these things, but yet you telling me the Big Bang happened. There was a small amoeba crossed out of the slime. Where did the amoeba come from? Where did the slime come from? But by faith, we believe that God is, and he's the creator of all things out of nothing. It's called ex nihilo. He just spoke it into existence. He didn't start with something. Except himself, and everything that he needed was in himself. He's all powerful. It's just absolutely amazing. His power is reciprocal. He can give power and it comes all the way back to him. He gives power without losing any power, but he empowers you to do the very thing he's called you to do. And yet he is still God all by himself. He needs nothing. We cannot add anything to this God we believe in, nor can we take anything away. Because if we could, he would not be God. And we hear people say, well, God needs. God does not need anything. Who are you that he needs you? How in the world God's creating you, therefore turn around and say, I need you? That doesn't make sense. But we have to believe that God is. First and foremost, foremost, if you want to please God, you have to believe. And your conscience has to be biblically informed. That's the reason we keep telling you to read the word of God. To memorize the word of God. To meditate on the word of God. Not just to read and memorize and meditate, but to apply the word of God. It's through the application that we experience the wisdom of God. Because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. The life of Jesus Christ dwell in you. Therefore, you have everything you need to apply the word of God to any and every situation in your life. Any and every situation. You may not necessarily remember the exact scripture, but you know the principles that are ingrained in the scripture. Therefore, you can live a life that's pleasing to God. Your life should put a aroma up, a good aroma. Because whether we know it or not, there's aroma coming out of lives all the time. You know, and that's one thing you have to really get over and get over yourself when you go into a place like the community kitchen. Because people may be there without taking a bath or a shower for days. They may have stuff on them. They may have drank or taken something that you can smell. Their hair could be matted. They could have just dirt all over their face, all over their clothes. And if we think too highly of ourselves, we would not put ourselves in a situation where we can show the love of Christ. And if we flip the script, we could easily be on the other side. And brothers and sisters, we were on the other side. Jesus came down to this stinking, sinful world. And he loved us so very much. He touched people that other people got upset with him for touching. Lepers, you weren't supposed to touch a leper. But Christ touched a leper. Just think about that leper hadn't been touched in a long time. And then the compassion of another human being touched them. The woman with the issue of blood, I mean, she was unclean. Christ knew she was coming and he stopped long enough for her to touch him. Mary Magdalene came up behind Jesus, anointed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And old Simon, the religious person, said if he was a true prophet, he would know this type of woman is touching him. And Jesus, perceiving what he was saying in his heart, says, Simon, Simon, who would show me more love or show more gratitude? The one with little sin or the one with a lot of sin? Simon said, the one with a lot of sin. He said, you speak the truth. I've come into your house. I am your guest. And you've not done anything. Because it was customary when you come into a house, of course, they had sandals on. Their feet were dirty. So that's the first thing. Either the owner of the house or the lower person in the house will wash the feet. But Simon had done none of that. Because was he truly honoring Christ? What was his motivation for inviting Christ in? What is our motivation for living for Christ? The only way we can live for Christ and please God is we have to exercise faith. Therefore, we have to believe. Believing to the point where we're laying all our weight on Jesus Christ without any care in the world. Just like you're picking up a little child. A little child's not going to be concerned about you dropping them. Now, if you try to pick me up, I would be concerned. But as long as you know the person has the power to do what they're telling you to do, you're going to trust. God has all power. If we don't trust God, who can we trust? And then it's bared out through Enoch. Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, say he pleased God and God took him away. Took him away. He was over 300 years old. Well, they lived back then. Methuselah, 969 years old. See, some people now barely 50. Like, man, I don't know if you're going to make it. But God's grace is the same. Just like he kept Enoch to the point where Enoch pleased him. And he took Enoch because he pleased him. Because he exercised faith. And he believed in God. He believed in something that he could not see, based on the promises that he received from God. Now, God is not asking us to base our faith on something we can't see, because he has to give us that faith, and then he works out the faith in us that we can see him working in our lives. Therefore, we can continue to step by step, trusting in the God that's brought us up to this point. And we have to walk by faith, live by faith. Walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Humbly before a holy and righteous God. Living out the principles and precepts ingrained in the word of God. And we have to believe and stand on that belief, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that we know if I take this step, I'm going to please God. So those that come to God must believe, first and foremost, we have to believe. Secondly, we have to endure. And how long do we have to endure? Until the end. What end? The end. But Hebrews chapter 12 talks about looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the end. And it's almost like we're running on a treadmill at times, right? You can turn the treadmill up as fast as you want to go. You're still not going anywhere. You're still right there just making a lot of effort and energy. And God has put us on a treadmill called faith. Set it up, and he's constantly turning it up. Constantly turning us, turning it up. And we want, and there's no timer on it. We just have to keep going. Enduring until the end. And as we endure, we have encouragement from brothers and sisters. That's the reason it's so important to tell people your testimony. Tell people your story. Right. Don't worry about other people. Like, it's your story. And don't be afraid to tell your story. Right. It's just like prayer. This one man was praying. He was just using is where he should have been using or, and was where he should have been using were. And after And the guy started saying, man, your prayer was terrible. And he said, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the Lord. And when you tell your story, say, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me and tell you what the Lord has done in my life. And there are three parts of a testimony. Your pre-Christ, BC days. Your interruption of your life with Christ. And then after Christ. And you don't have to remember the exact day or time. I mean, I know it's possible, but it just in my mind, I can't reconcile that. Because when I was physically born, I don't remember it. But I know I was born. Because I'm here. The evidence is here. But it's not about you have to remember the date and time. It's about your life after that. Are you living for Christ today? Because you can hear a lot of people say, oh, it was in 1972. I remember I bought a Pepsi drink and a moon pie. And I had this experience and I was saved. But their life is tore up from then. Nothing has changed. So help me understand. You say you had your life was interrupted by Jesus Christ. You had your Damascus Road experience. But nothing has changed. Something's wrong. Well, I lost my salvation. You didn't have it. If you lost it, you did not have it. Because Jesus Christ saves. Once and forever. If you're in the hands of Jesus Christ, who's more stronger than him? Who can snatch you out of Christ's hand? Who? Who? Who is the King of glory? Strong and mighty. Who is stronger than him? If that person exists, Jesus Christ is not who he said he was. Anybody can snatch you out of Christ's hand. Christ is not who he promised to be. Period. Because Christ can keep that which we have given to him. But we have to endure. And just read the rest of Hebrews. They endured. Abraham was told to leave your country. And then leave your family after his dad died. He and Sarah and Lot. And then Lot left him. And then his hope left him to the point where Sarah said, okay, I'll tell you what we do. We're not going to have any kids. Hagar's right here. Abraham probably looked at Hagar and said, oh, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Sister from Egypt. Can't go wrong. But of course, that was not part of God's plan. And then later on, when they were well beyond age, God showed up with two other angels, the angel of the Lord, and told Abraham, this time next year, you'll have a child. After 25 years, he waited. He endured. He got to the point where his faith started to falter. Went into Hagar. But Christ came and told him, reminded him, no, you're going to have a child. So we have to endure. Then we have to be willing to let it go. We need to look unto the Lord and let whatever we hold in our hands go. After 25 years of waiting, seeing Isaac grow up, God showed up another night and said, okay, I want you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac, on a mountain that I will show you. Abraham got up early the next morning, exercising faith, because the book of Hebrews tells us the rest of the story. That he didn't understand how God was going to bring him back, but he knew God was going to bring him back because that was the child of promise. He had to bring him back. But Abraham trusted him, took him up on the mountain, and little Isaac asked a question. Abraham was probably already agonizing. Dad, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Little Isaac probably was worried. Where is it? Lord, I mean, this is the first time we've ever gone. Is there a new program in the church today? Because I know we used to follow this program, and all of a sudden I don't see this in the program, so. And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. I wonder what was going on through Isaac's little mind when his father bind him. Picked him up. And the wood was actually on little Isaac's back coming up. Now, all of a sudden, Isaac was laying on the wood. Abraham took the knife by faith. He endured to the end. He was going to plunge it in. That's when the angel came and said, stop. Stop. But until that point in time, Abraham had his mind made up to go all the way. And we have to endure all the way. And then we will receive the promises of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we have to endure diligently seeking to please God. And that seeking is present tense. There should never be a time when a child of God is not seeking to please God. Never a time. So anything done without faith, it is sin. And the very good thing we know to do, if we don't do it, it's sin. We have to do everything to please God by faith. And if you're doing anything without faith, it's sin. So the challenge, I want to challenge you right here. Think about everything you do, every little thing you do. The Bible said if you don't do it without faith, if you do it without faith, it's sin. And you don't please God. But everything you do, every step you take, every move you make, every word you speak, saying, I want to please God. The Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to hear. And the hearing is from the Spirit of God. Because if you're not hearing from God, what are you talking about? You're giving your own opinion. And can your opinion help anybody? Now, wisdom is different. The Bible say older women teach the younger women. Older men teach the younger men. But that wisdom should be based on the word of God. Just because one thing worked one way with you does not guarantee it's going to work the same way with somebody else. So God worked this out in my life this way. So based on that, I know he's able. However, he may choose not to work it out in your life that way. So our words should be seasoned with salt. But we have to endure. Then we have to be willing to receive. And that receiving is really great expectation. Every day we should expect, Lord, what are you going to do in my life today? Lord, how are you going to bless me today so I can bless others today? Lord, help me to tell somebody about Jesus Christ through my lifestyle first and foremost. And if I have to verbalize, but I want to make sure what I'm saying aligns with how I'm living. And then when things go wrong, do you respond the same way the world responds? You should respond in hope. Jesus Christ is our hope, 1 Timothy 1:1. He is our hope. And we should be expecting to receive the promises of God. My God is able to supply every need according to his riches in Jesus Christ. There should never be anything we're so concerned with that we're just going to lose our mind because we don't have it when we think we need it. And that's where the rub comes. Most of the time, I dare say you, we want things that God does not want for us. And because God is slacking his timing, we go get us a Hagar and have us an Ishmael. And there's trouble in the house. So if you don't want an Ishmael in your house, leave Hagar alone. Because when we make a choice to go outside of what God has prescribed for us, we're going to end up in a place that we never intended to be. And now we're going to have to deal with the consequences. But we have to receive the blessings from God. We have to have our hands wide open. Say, Lord, whatever you put in my hands today, I want to use to glorify you. Help me to be a blessing. And what are his promises? He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We're going to receive that confirmation based on what we're going through. Now we can't trust our feelings because sometimes we don't feel like God is with us. But in spite of that, we have to remember the truth about God. Where can God go that he's not already there? He's everywhere all at the same time. He has all power. Amen. And he knows everything. So whatever we need, all we have to do is ask. However, we have to ask by faith. Book of James said we have to ask without doubting. Because a double-minded man should not expect anything from God. And we're going to receive a heavenly home when we exercise the faith in what Jesus Christ has said. I have gone to prepare a place for you. As if your name's on the door. You don't have to worry about anybody getting your room. Nobody's going to take your parking spot. But there's no marriage in heaven. But we will be complete. And we'll be all brothers and sisters in the Lord. I was talking to the guy down at Community Kitchen yesterday. And, of course, they go to a white church, if there's such a thing. And we go to a predominantly black church. And I look out at the people in the Community Kitchen. I said, heaven is going to be just like this. All us beggars. Beggars. But complete beggars in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be begging him every day. Lord, let me just spend time with you. Lord, let me just stay in your presence. Let me just get to know you on a more deeper level. Lord, just help me. Help me to just continue to grow in my glorified body. Complete knowledge. To spend an eternity with him. So if we want to please God, we have to, first of all, believe. Secondly, we have to endure. Then we have to be willing and readily available to receive the promises of God. And I challenge you to go and find out the precious promises of Jesus Christ. Just keep you motivated, because he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. So he's looking to reward us. If we please him, diligently seek him, we're going to get rewards. We're going to get the precious privilege of telling somebody about Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? And if God bless you to be the very last person at the end of the line, that he's going to use your telling to bring this person into Christ, and you'll get an opportunity to experience this with that person. They can break down and say, oh, and you know what's going on in their heart and mind. That they're being regenerated right in front of you. And you can just give glory and honor to God. Thank you, Lord, for using me for such a time as this. The woman with the issue of blood, she trusted God to the point where she put herself in position to trust God. In herself, she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. The lady with the demon-possessed child, she trusted God. She left her country and came to God, came to Christ, endured. The disciples saying, send her away. And then Christ said, how can I take the bread from the Israelites and give them to a dog? But she said, even the crumbs that fall from the table fall to the dogs. But Jesus was testing her. He knew what he was going to do. And over and over and over, examples of people exercising faith. And we have to exercise faith every day. But your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. Because we can exercise faith in a car. Eventually, it's going to break down. House, eventually, if you don't keep it up, it's going to break down. This body, whether you keep it up or not, eventually it's going to break down. But we should have our faith based on something that's securely, forever secured. And we can stand on him, period. So if you want to please God, let's believe, endure, and receive. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. Pray, Father God, that your word found good ground today, that fruit may be produced.